When a young boy learned to walk and leave his walker behind, after a week of intense therapy in the Colorado mountains, the idea for Adams Camp was born. You'll love this conversation with founder Carol Horney about how this now four-decade journey Adams Camp is on has helped thousands of children with special needs and their families. On this episode of Making Our World Better.
Welcome to the Making Our World Better podcast, where you will find motivation and encouragement through lively conversations with inspirational people who every day are making our world a better place. Now, here's your host, Jay Clark.
Welcome to the podcast. I am Jay Clark, and what a gift to have a conversation with the incredible Carol Horney, founder of Adams Camp, an organization dedicated to helping people of all ages with special needs and their families. Carol is a Denver native who received her BA in education in English from the University of Northern Colorado. And after teaching elementary age for 4 years, she and husband Bob began their family of five with triplet boys in 1980. The loss of one son and the diagnosis of cerebral palsy for Adam led Carol to a new career and passion, where she founded Adams Camp in 1986. From humble beginnings of gathering some friends for respite and therapy in the Rocky Mountains to scaling heights like opening a facility on the YMCA Snow Mountain Ranch campus, hosting giant fundraisers, and serving hundreds of families from all over the country, Carol has received numerous awards for her work with Adams Camp. She continues to serve the organization as a director emeritus and has continued to cultivate her leadership gifts by serving on various boards and is currently the chair of the board at the Colorado Community Church. Full disclosure, I had the chance to work with Carol, and she's been a wonderful mentor and inspiration to me. And I just can't wait to share her story, her energy, and her passion. Carol, thanks so much for being with me.
Well, thanks for having me, Jay, and thanks for having this podcast. This is a wonderful vehicle to share with the community. And of course, as you've said many times, the impetus for most good organizations is a need and a family. And I'm so glad you read that introduction, because basically I don't have to say all that now.
Nope, definitely don't.
And that's you've set the stage. I like that.
For those listening who don't know Adams Camp, introduce us to the organization and its mission.
You bet. Well, Adams Camp, as you said, is a program that serves children with special needs and their families. The core competency, as I like to call it, of the program is a multidisciplinary therapy program that serves children by providing intensive therapy for 5 hours a day for five consecutive days, one-on-one therapy. The reason we do it that way is because Adam experienced that and had great results. And we wanted to share it with some other people. We got five kids and five families together and went to Snow Mountain Ranch to kind of try it out, basically try out this method of treating and serving and providing progress for our campers. What we didn't really understand at that time was how much we needed support. Bob and I thought we were incredibly evolved and knew what we were doing, which of course we didn't. And getting together with those other families was incredibly powerful. And as you know, Jay, I'm speaking to the choir here. And by the way, you speak up anytime with what you think about Adams Camp, because you've experienced it firsthand.
Yeah.
But he started walking independently at the very first Adams Camp.
Wow.
And we believe that it was partly due to the therapy, but also that big intangible of being in a community of people who are just like you. Yeah. And getting the support and the changing of our normal to, well, this is normal. This is Adam's normal. This is your kid's normal. And that's going to be what our life's like. And we're going to look to see every single thing that Adam can do. And we're going to support him in that.
And that's one of the things I always loved about the camp is it doesn't focus on what people can't do. It focuses on what they can do. And I remember one of my favorite pictures, I think it might have been from your first week, was everybody piled into the back of a pickup. Probably wouldn't really fly these days, but it was awesome. So kind of take us back to, you know, when you started and how you really kind of dialed in on these programs, because it's so great. You know, they get an hour of speech therapy, an hour of physical therapy, an hour, all these different therapies. So kind of take us back and walk through how you kind of figured it all out.
Sure. So Adam, as I said, he was getting ready to go into a pre-kindergarten program and he wasn't walking. And so they wanted to put him in a wheelchair. That was the motivation for us because his physical therapist did think he would walk. She really did, but he was not yet walking. And so we wanted to do something for him that could really provide him with what he needed to get up and walk. So that's when his physical therapist said, well, I know this gal, she's up in Aspen, and you go stay with her for 5 days and she works with your kid for 5 days. So that's what we did. Adam took, after those 5 days of really hard work, he took some steps in a walker and he sustained that and was able to go to school and not be in a wheelchair. So that was very cool. Well, the other thing, so we were talking about how amazing it was that Adam was able to experience that, but also that we'd never heard about that before. And why? And we bet a lot of people, other people hadn't heard about it either. So then we started talking about other needs we had, like our therapists were all great, the speech therapist, the occupational therapist, but they didn't talk to each other. They didn't communicate. So they were all asking us to do all of these things with Adam and we were really overwhelmed. And so this idea kind of began to percolate about, hey, how about if we bring them all together? Let's bring all those therapists together, let them work with our kids, or in this case, Adam, for 5 days. And then at the end of that time, let them tell us what makes sense for our whole Adam, you know, the whole Adam based on their input and their experience in working together with him.
Yeah.
So that's how the idea came up. And Jay, we never had a plan. There was no plan involved in this. This was, let's go up and do this because it'll be great for Adam and it'd be great for the other kids. And the other kids were other clients of his physical therapist. So they had all different varying diagnoses, but they all responded to therapies. That was the important thing. They had to have some sort of a developmental delay. So that was how Adam's Camp started. The reason it's called Adam's Camp is because my mother passed away the year before our first program, and the seed money from her passing is what seeded the program.
I'm not certain I knew that.
That's why they called it Adam's Camp. So, you know, I think sometimes people get the idea that these organizations or ideas are some big percolated, strategically planned mission that has been, you know, planned out for five, and maybe some of them are, but that was not Adam's Camp. And we never did have a plan for a long time. I mean, Adam went to camp, everybody had a great experience. We decided to come back the next year. Some other people heard about it. We added some more kids. And then everything that evolved after that was out of the needs of the campers that came. So eventually we did get a strategic plan and we did move into the arena of that sort of, way of doing business, if you will. But you're exactly right about the pickup truck. I was thinking about that this morning. You know, honestly, Jay, if you really think about it, who in the world is gonna, you know, our therapy camp is one thing, but then when they become adventure campers, which was the next iteration, you know, moving on to adventure and being outdoors and having relationships, who in their right mind puts a kid with cerebral palsy on a zip line? I mean, that's just nuts. I mean, people, I think no fear was an important part of it. You know, these days, I know people would be more hesitant, but in those days, people didn't have a lot of litigious bent about them. I mean, and we, you know, it was just a bunch of people that wanted something good for their kid. And then a bunch more people who wanted something good for their kid. And then they found out how good it was for their family. And we found out that if a child has special needs, the whole family has special needs. We needed to treat them all. So that's when we implemented, you know, we always had parent support groups. And then, of course, we created a sibling program just for those kids. And that's how that all evolved.
Because now you've created, and this is one thing I love too with the sibling program, you create a situation where these kids who are the siblings of kids with special needs, nobody knows what they're going through except other kids that are
exactly.
in situation. So now you've put all them together. So they're in a group now that, you know, naturally supports them and they get to be themselves.
That's right.
So it's just, you know, I love how it kind of takes care of the therapy and really creates amazing results there. But it ripples across the whole family. The parents get rest and respite and all of that. So those are all just awesome kind of byproducts of this idea that.
Exactly. It's a whole bunch of things came out of it that we had never even planned to have come out of it. They just evolved out of the needs and ideas and interests of the people involved. As you know, we use over 200 volunteers every summer.
Yeah.
So we've got youth involved. And one of the things you mentioned and talked about when you talked with Susan Mooney about Tall Tales Ranch is this ripple effect, which again was something I have always been amazed about, because at the end of the day, this community of people with special needs is pretty tight. I don't think, you know, I wish there were more people connected. I know there's a lot more people with special needs out there that maybe don't have that connection, which is something we really would love to see for them. Mm-hmm. But, you know, out of Adams Camp, which has now been around for 38 years, we've seen at least three other organizations evolve out of people that worked at Adams Camp, people that got together and saw the possibilities for these kids and created new opportunities for them. And that's really cool. And another thing is to watch some of our volunteers, kids who were volunteers, end up picking careers, either in special education or as a therapist, becoming a provider to these kids and families, and then coming back to Adams Camp as a therapist or as a counselor. That's been really fun too. So it's the impact has been not just on our families, but on all of our volunteers and staff. It's quite a exciting and just interesting thing to observe.
Well, and going from, you know, five families in the back of a pickup to now this big organization that runs programs year round and has all this great success, still one of the most gratifying things for you has to be every year people come back. So they, you know, families return year after year, you've got wait lists. That has to be incredibly gratifying for you. From starting this to where it is now.
It is gratifying. And even more than that, I feel good for them, because I know that they have found a community and that they have found a place where their whole family can vacation and be comfortable and all the things they tell us every year about what's valuable about camp to them. That definitely makes me feel like this is a home for many people. And it's funny, Jay, because I know that I kind of came up with the idea and kind of helped put the first group together, but it has been a community of many, many people who have carried this forward.
Right.
And being a part of it has been incredible. I have met some of the most amazing people I've ever known and still do continue to meet amazing people and love, love, love working in the nonprofit space. It's just different, as you know.
Well, and then when you talk about the staff and the volunteers, I remember talking to a lot of the therapists that would work, and they would say it is the best professional development that I go through as a therapist. I mean, talk about what that means to be a therapist at Adams Camp and what they have to do.
Sure. So many of these therapists work in the schools.
Right.
They may have an independent practice. What they do every day is to meet with one kid for an amount of time And then they move to the next kid and the next kid and the next kid. And they work with these kids once a week. So they may see some progress, but it's slow and intermittent. At Adams Camp, they get to come in and fully immerse themselves with these five kids for 5 days and have a chance to make a real impact in a short period of time. But not only that, they get to do it in concert with other therapists. So just like all of us, I know I work better around other people. I work better around people that have my vision or my passion about things. And so do these therapists. And so, yes, it's great professional development. It's hard, hard work because, as you know, at the end of the day, after they do the therapy, they go back to their cabins and they talk about these kids for 3 or 4 hours. And then they work on the final report, which is used by the families to share with all their care providers. So it is a way to make an impact on a child that can carry through the whole next year of their schooling, their treatment, their medical care until they can come back the next year. And then they get a tune-up. They get that therapy again. And then that whole process is repeated from where the child is at that point.
Yeah. And not only do the kids get all this great therapy, but then at the end of the week, the families get a great takeaway that they can share with all their other providers.
Exactly.
I want to go back just a little bit to talk about the family piece too, because while those kids are in that therapy for 5 hours, the parents just get to be, they're in this beautiful setting in the Rocky Mountains. They just get to be a couple again, right? Mm-hmm. I'll never forget rainstorm watching people, couples ride bikes in the rain and they're giggling like little kids. They never get to do that, right? When you had Adam, you never really had the chance to do that, right? So that's another super cool part of the whole program.
It is. The respite cannot be underestimated. And for some of these families, many of them, we used to have what we call date night, and we'd have the volunteers come and watch their kids, and they could go out. And many of these families would say, we've never been out before without, because of, they might have a child with severe behavior problems or severe health issues that they just didn't feel comfortable leaving them with anyone else. So the respite is really, really important. We really, really encourage the families to get together to support each other. And we have a party boat now, and we do beer and brats and, a bunch of social activities that give parents a chance to really communicate, because really and truly raising a child with special needs is different. It's different than raising any other child because their needs are so different. And it's so good to have other people to talk to about that journey.
Yeah. So you think of where this has gone and where it is now and the growth that's taken place, and, you've become a master fundraiser and all this other stuff. If you look back, can you think of some of the most impactful lessons you've learned that would be helpful to other people who are maybe just starting this journey with an organization?
Absolutely. And honestly, Jay, at this stage of my life, that's what I think my role is to share my experience. Yep. One of them is keep your eye on the ball. In other words, I've seen many organizations, and we did this too, when they see a need, they want to meet that need. And what we did from the very beginning, we were lucky because we actually stumbled into this model, which nobody else was doing, and nobody else still does, to our knowledge. Right. So we were doing something different. We tried to make sure the whole time that we were in this, with building the organization, we could, whatever we chose to do, we were not going to do it unless we could do it better than anybody else that was doing it. Because there's a lot of people having dances for people with special needs. There's a lot of people, that have social groups for kids. we branched out a little bit into that arena. But a good example is we started our urban adventure program. If you remember that, Jay, it was for kids in wheelchairs because we could not serve them in the mountains. Right. So once they got out of therapy camp, in our adventure camp, we could in therapy camp, we decided to start a program in town where we would take these kids around, and we did have cool activities and all that. Well, eventually National Sports Center for the Disabled, who we partner with in Winter Park, you know, we're, well, I'll go into that next, but came to Denver and started doing day programs in the city. And so we partnered with them initially, and then pretty quickly we said, you know what, you guys are much better equipped to do this than we are. We're going to turn this program over to you. And now they handle programming for that population because we couldn't do it as well as they could. And so, you know, we did that. The another thing is make sure, or for us, what set us apart, one of the things that sets us apart is our partnerships. And it was absolutely, I could call it dumb luck, but I think it was a God thing that we ended up at Snow Mountain Range. I mean, we didn't, I didn't know we were right next door to National Sports Center for the Disabled, but we certainly were. And we used them for our rafting, for our day at Winter Park. I mean, they have been amazing partners.
The horseback therapy is great.
Yes, the horseback, yes. Horseback riding therapy. The town of Grand Lake has totally embraced us and takes us in for a lot of the activities that take place there. The town of Winter Park has a concert every Thursday night and they set up chairs for our campers. I mean, the partnerships that we've been able to establish, not to mention the YMCA, which also has its own activities. So that has been a big, I believe, a big part of why, what sets us apart. And you know, we continue to seek partnerships for funding reasons and for other everything we do. We look out and see who else is doing it and how can we best utilize all of our resources to provide the best product for our campers.
Yeah. And I love that advice because I think that's, it's kind of, I call it the squirrel effect, right? You see something new, squirrel, we're going to do that now. You really need to kind of, you know, stay in your lane, do what you do and do it really well.
Yes.
I think that's great advice.
I'll tell you one more thing that I learned. And this was, you know, I learned, I didn't really understand the impact of having history and knowing what was going on. And I, as you know, this, and this is not, this was not, fortunately, you stepped in after me and did a great job. But I now know that there is some belief in the nonprofit community. There's a thing called founder syndrome, where a people can consider it important for a founder to step away from an organization when they leave. I mean, when they retire or whatever, however they do it. And I did that to a certain degree. And I now don't think that's a good thing.
I completely agree with you.
I think that 100%. The founder needs to help, as long as they're not over controlling, because that's not good. That's not good. Because what I always said was, I want the person that takes over to be better than me. I wanted them to be better than me, to take it to the next level. And I want to be able to help people not have to go through everything we went through for however many years it was until you came, Jay, 25 or wherever.
So much institutional knowledge there. Why not share it?
Why would in the world do you want to lose that? Yeah. So anyway, I would pass that on. Be very careful about transitions and how you manage those, because it is important.
Yeah, I could not agree more. I've seen that in several organizations where it's like, okay, he's got it or she's got to step aside. It's like, are you kidding? No way.
Yeah.
I mean, it's just a recipe for disaster, I think. So, you know, I know you're still involved, very much involved with Adams Camp and serving on different boards and helping with your grandchildren and all of this. What keeps you energized and really keeps you excited about all of this?
What keeps me energized and excited is is that my greatest desire at this stage of my life is to be sure that I'm continuing to become the woman God created me to be. And I found out that God created me for this work, for one thing. And Jay, believe me, I was a train wreck when I started this organization. I had all kinds of stuff going on in my life. But, you know, for some reason, God gave me this sort of little pocket of gifts that led me into this work. And when I retired from Adams Camp, I said, what now? You know, and where else can I use this? Which is what led me to my work at church and my work with my grandkids. I am so blessed and so, I just have so much to be grateful for that I never, I will admit I'm not a very good sitter. I wish I were, but I'm not. So I don't know. I feel like I'm just called and I want to answer that call. And I just love everything I do. I loved working at Adams Camp. And I wasn't trained for that work. I certainly never wanted to have a child with special needs. Yeah. And yet it's all become my greatest blessing. So, that's kind of my goal.
And I think that's one of the great lessons we can take from all of this as well is, you know, you put your mission and everything before yourself. I mean, I just heard that over and over in this conversation. We just wanted to help more people. We wanted to help. So putting the mission and your goals and your visions and everything else before yourself, I think leads to success, as you've proven. So as we wind down, and I want to respect your time, of course, and I always love to ask these last four questions. The first one is, what's something you will read, listen to, or watch today?
So I have already listened to a number of different podcasts. They're all faith-based. They're all by people that I really enjoy and respect. So I do that every day while I'm working on my jigsaw puzzle. I'm not going to say it's a combination of. And then I am reading a book called The Covenant of Water. It's an incredible book. So I love that. And what was the other thing? Oh, what am I going to watch? Well, right now it's The Voice.
Yeah.
The Voice. I love singing. I wanted to be a lounge singer. That was what I wanted to be when I was growing up. So this is my, you know, living that dream out.
But I love
it. Those are what are on my list right now.
Can you point to somebody who's been a role model to you in your work with Adams Camp or at any point in your life?
Adam.
I love
that guy. I mean, he has changed our lives 100% because this is a guy that never holds a grudge. Whatever happens, he just rolls with it. You know, he has things he can't do and things he has always wanted to be a policeman, but now he knows he can't be. So he volunteers with police things. He's just taught us how to be. And then there have always been people that I've worked with or worked alongside that I have such great respect for. I'd say Dean Prina is one of them. He was with Partners in Pediatrics and mm-hmm. always was such an inspiration because of all he did for the nonprofit community. But, you know, Jay, there's been so many people that I have just gained energy from and wanted to or gotten ideas from. I couldn't begin to name them all.
I love it. Two more great lessons. I mean, how better would the world be if we were all a little more like Adam? And, you know, none of us can get there on our own.
That's right.
Two more great lessons. So other than Adam's Camp, are there organizations out there that you admire the work they're doing or want to give a shout out to?
Well, ARC thrift stores for sure, because Adam, I'm so grateful for them because they've given Adam a job. And he works, not only does he have a job, he works at the thrift store one day a week, but 2 days a week because they recognized his interest in law enforcement. He works in the corporate office as the loss prevention coordinator. Uh-huh. And he looks at the monitors to see if anybody's stealing from the store. So it feeds right into his interest. I am so grateful for Lloyd and his vision with ARC. Of course, the Down Syndrome Association, of course, all of the organizations that serve kids with special needs. I really love watching what Tall Tales is doing with Susan and her crew. I love the Wayfaring Band, all of the agencies that serve our kids. There are a lot of great organizations today serving our kids.
Well, I don't want to get off on too big of a tangent, but when you talk about Adam working at the ARC, this is one of the things that I think is one of the great injustices is the unemployment level in the IDD community is so high when in fact, these folks can do so many things and really make valuable contributions. So again, I'm with you with ARC on making a difference there. So last one, if anybody wants to learn more about Adam's Camp, volunteer, support the organization, what's the best way for them to find out more?
AdamsCamp.org. Please visit our website. We have so much going on. We are in the process right now of hiring all of our other volunteers for the summer. So I'd really give a shout out for that as well. We always are and are really making a concerted effort to make corporate relationships right now. So if anybody works for a company or is looking for someone to partner with, we are always interested in that because we believe that our work could be very gratifying to a lot of people in that corporate space. Visit us.
Great corporate social responsibility partner. I know that for a fact. And Carol, this is just, as always, you just continue to inspire. I'm so proud to be your friend and wish you and Adam's Camp all the best.
Thank you, Jay. It was great to be with you today.
Thanks for listening. And thanks to Carol for sharing the story of one of my favorite nonprofits. This podcast is brought to you by JC Charity Services. Running a nonprofit is hard, and I'd love to bolster your efforts and help you thrive. You can find me at makingourworldbetter.com. To learn more about Adam's Camp and how you can volunteer or support the organization, visit adamscamp.org and follow them on social media. If you enjoyed this podcast, we'd be grateful if you'd share it with a friend and spread the great stories from the amazing leaders on this show. Until next time, I hope you're inspired to find a way to make our world better.